let's continue with our study of the family. And this morning's passage will be taken from Genesis chapter 2. Thank you for that special. I appreciate it so very much. I was just thinking this week, boy, it's been a long time since we've had a special. It's about time for one. So God bless you. Thank you for that. Appreciate that so very much. Genesis chapter 2. And verse 24 is the text that I'll be reading from this morning. Those willing and able to, I'm going to ask that you stand with me, please, as we share the reading of the Word of God. The text simply says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So, Father, we come before you. We pray that you would encourage us today because we want to be the kind of examples to this world in marriage that we need to be. The kind of example that actually entices others to question why we're so different. Why is our marriage so peaceful, and why is there so much harmony, and why is there so much love and respect in our families? And I pray that we'll have opportunities to share this basically because it begins with a relationship with you, with God through Jesus Christ and His forgiveness of sins through His shed blood on the cross. But Father, we pray that you would help us to walk worthy of the calling of our salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated this morning. Well, thus far we've been kind of looking at some general principles in our quest for a better marriage, and we focused on two axioms, and that is the husband having unconditional love for his wife, and the wife, of course, having unconditional respect for her husband. This is the way that God has created us to operate. He's created us that way, and not because He's trying to make life hard for us, and not because He's trying to always create a rift between us, but because we have different roles to play in life. The husband has a different role than the wife. The husband is the leader of the family there, and by consequence of that, there is a need for respect, because that's what leaders have. That's what they're supposed to have. And his role is to provide, and his role is to protect, and his role is to lead. And so respect goes along with that role. And then the woman's role, of course, is to be the wife and to be submissive to him and to nurture and to help and to submit. And so that requires a great deal of love from her husband to fulfill her role. And the problem comes in, though, in trying to fulfill those needs. And the problem is a problem because we don't have each other's primary need as our need. In other words, it's not that the man doesn't need to be loved, but his primary need is to be respected. And it's very difficult for wives to get a hold of that because their primary need is love. And so that's where they come from. And men, you know, they come from the primary need of respect. And it's hard for them to get this hold of the idea that their wife's need is not respect, but their wife's need is unconditional love. And so we have this struggle and this difficulty in life. And so what we are going to do as men this morning is re-gear. I'm going to challenge the men this morning to re-gear. And once again, I have to give thanks to Dr. Edgar Riches. And he gives six profound principles to men to help them to love their wives. And so we're going to spend the next two Sundays talking about these six principles. We're going to do three principles this week, and then we're going to do three principles next week on how to come across more loving to our wives. Now, he has an acronym to help us remember these six principles. That acronym is COUPLE. COUPLE, COUPLE. Closeness, openness, understanding, peacemaking, loyalty, and esteem. And so you women are willing to listen in. I mean, you're welcome to listen in this morning and next week as well. But I am going to be focusing basically on your husbands And if for those women who are going, who ladies here, the young girls here who aren't married, this is what you need to be looking for. Okay, so you can approach it from that aspect. If you're not married and you're one of these days you're going to get married, then you need to be looking for these things in the man that you marry. And so the scripture says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So the man is joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And if you're looking at the King James Version of the Bible there, you know that it says that he shall cleave to his wife. So there's this clinging that a husband is supposed to do is to his wife. In other words, he's to hold her close. A man is to draw his wife up close to him. You know, even more telling is the Hebrew word here, because the Hebrew word for clinging or for cleaving or for joining has the idea of actually being face to face. Face to face. Out of all of God's creation, the human beings are the only ones who are romantically intimate by being face to face. No other being that God has created has a conjugal relationship that is face to face. That is by the design of God. That design is to create oneness between the two. Let me give you then the first principle that we're going to look at, men. The first principle is that your wife wants closeness. Your wife wants closeness. She wants to be close to you. And I'm not just talking about being sexually close here, but I'm talking about eye-to-eye contact. I'm talking about close in a sense of physical touch. Close in the sense of being involved in your wife's life. We have to constantly be thinking about moving toward our wives. That is not what we naturally do as men, but that is what God is calling us to do. One of the most important words in your wife's vocabulary is connect. Connect. They want to feel connected to you. You know, and I know that as a man, you kind of want your space. You know, you kind of want some freedom there, you know, and you want to go hang with the guys, or you want to go watch a game on a TV, or you want you know to do something else. But your wife wants into your space. And if you will figure out how to just to do a few loving things to connect with your wife, you're going to heap some huge rewards in the end. And to be honest with you, fellas, you're going to have to fight through the feeling that you're being controlled. You're going to have to fight through this idea that your wife is somehow trying to emasculate you. You're going to fight through this idea that somehow another she's trying to get in, enter into your life and be too intrusive into your life. All she's trying to do is find a way to connect with you. And I realize that sometimes her attitude is going to feel kind of confrontational to you. But in reality, she's just trying to get connect with you. And I know that's counterintuitive to the way that we men think. You're going to think that she's trying to get too intrusive. You need to constantly be thinking about how you can move towards your wife. Last week, I shared with you that when you get into the situation where there's some conflict going on in your marriage, I shared with you this one basic question that you as men need to ask. That is simply this: I'm feeling a little bit disrespected here, and I wonder if there's some way that I have made you feel unloved. I wonder if there's something I've done to make you feel unloved. And you open up the door for her to begin to communicate with you. But I'm going to tell you what, man, the best thing you can do is cut it off at the pass. You say, how do you do that? You do things that already make her feel close to you and loved all the time. You say, that's impossible. I know it's impossible, but it is a goal. It is the goal. You say, well, how do you do that? How do you get this face-to-face connection? Well, there's some practical things I want to give you to do. You can go into the kitchen. When she's in the kitchen and she's fixing the meal, you can go into the kitchen and you begin some small talk with her. She's preparing the dinner. You can help her prepare the dinner. You can ask her about her day and you can share about your day with her. Some of the things that went on in your life today. She's very interested in that. That connects with her when you do that. You can do this very simple things of holding your wife's hand. You do the very simple thing of giving your wife a hug. You can focus on her when you're alone. Go for a walk together. Get away together. And you will reap the results of togetherness. You can run an errand for her. Volunteer to do something with her. Be aware that she is a person with opinions and thoughts that need to be heard. Do something unexpected for her. Take her out to lunch when she doesn't expect it. Just do something, you know, creative with her to get alone and be kind and affectionate and intentional about spending a little bit of time with her. And it'll go a long way. That's closeness. And secondly, your wife wants you to be open with her. Your wife wants you to be open with her. Dr. Egil Riches drew an illustration. He said, a woman is like a series circuit. Now, I don't know if you men know what, I think most of you men know what a series circuit is. A series circuit, if you have 3,000 lights, and they're all connected together in series, if you have one light go out in that series circuit, then all the other 2,000 lights go out. And they just go out. Because they're all connected together. That's the way a woman is wired. If she thinks there's a conflict between you and her, all of her lights go out. What I mean by that, she totally shuts down. Because she is interconnected. Her mind and her body and her soul and her spirit are all connected. Her entire being is affected by the feeling of being unloved. If her feelings are hurt, it affects all of her. Men, you and I are parallel circuits. If you smash 2,000 of our lights out, we still got 1,000 lights going on. You see, we compartmentalize our lives, we compartmentalize our emotions, and we store them away in a little box so that we can engage in the task that is consuming us at hand. And don't take this personally, but that's why men make better soldiers. That's why men make better policemen. That's why men make better firefighters than women do. Men are able to take their feelings and their fears and their anxiety and their anger and put them over here in a little box on the side and store them away so that they can focus on the task that is at hand that requires their energy, their intellect, and their prowess to do something that may be incredibly difficult, such as going to war and having to kill somebody, such as the possibility of severely being hurt in a situation, or such as being killed yourself. Compartmentalization is a coping device that men has that allow them to do some very difficult and hard things and some gross things and some fearful things in life. But this compartmentalization is not good when it comes to having a relationship with your wife. Listen, if for some reason or another you have a spat with your wife in the morning, and she gets her feelings hurt, or she feels for some reason that she is unloved and you go off to work, she is not going to get over it that morning. You're going to come home at night and you're going to find out she's fully charged. You're going to find out she's ready to talk about what happened that morning. And you've probably forgotten all about it. You've gone to work. But she has been replaying it and she has been rehearsing it all day long. And when you get ready, she is ready. And when you get home, she is ready to deal with it. And so when she brings it up and you respond with something like this, oh yeah. I remember that. Oh, well, you know, that's just water under the bridge. Now let's move on. She's going, what do you mean we're moving on? We can't move on until we deal with this. She can't understand. What are you thinking? You out of your mind? Seriously. Man, your wife, she's probably going to want to talk about marital problems on a daily basis. And that's so she can keep her relationship up to date with you. And women feel like that if they can keep their marriage relationship up to date, that they won't have to deal with a severe problem later on. Now, you're going to feel like she's interrogating you. You're going to feel like she's prodding. You're going to feel like she's snooping. You're going to feel like she's asking a lot of unnecessary questions about your day. And you're going to feel like she's trying to control you. But believe it or not, she's doing what's natural. She's trying to create some kind of a connection with you to find out about your day. And at first you're going to feel like you can't do it, my friends, but you can by the grace of God. Respond and move toward her and not away from her, and open up those compartments that you have in your life. Now, you may not be able to open all of them, but you can open up some of them. And to be honest with you, one of the easiest things you can do is just share your day. Now, there may be something that happened in your day that you're not ready necessarily to talk about. You can tell her, I'll talk about that later, and talk about it later. And if you really want to blow her away, if you really want to blow your wife's mind, say this: let's talk. That'll just shock her to no end. And when you say, let's talk, you don't even have to have anything in mind to talk about. Leave it up to her, because she'll have something to talk about. It creates a connection. Give her your attention. Take her, get her in the car and take her for a drive, and just talk without any distractions going on whatsoever. The point is that we have to listen to the still small voice that we have within us that's telling us we need to open up to our wives. Engage her in face-to-face confrontation and show it in your voice, and relax when you're talking with her. You'll be amazed how little sensitivity goes a long way. Well, number three, she wants understanding. The acronym is COUPLE. We've talked about closeness. We've talked about openness. And now we come to understanding. And the proverb says this. It says, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. I think that we overlook the power of understanding because we think that somehow or another we have to agree with the person we're trying to understand. That isn't necessarily true. What understanding does is it validates the other person. Not necessarily validates or even approve what they say or what they do, but it's validation and insists that they are valuable, that they are important, and what they say does count. Some of the most powerful weapons that you men have is your two ears. That's some of the most powerful artillery that you have. Understanding is basically an art of listening. And most of the time, we just need to listen to people, because when you listen to people, they usually solve their own problems. One of the most practical things that you men can do when you're not sure, when your wife comes to you and she's unloading on you and she has a burden to you and you're not sure how you need to respond to your wife, I want you to say this. I want you to say, do you need a solution to this problem, or do you want me to listen to you? That's what I want you to say. Do you need a solution to this problem, or do you just want me to be a sounding board and listen to you? And listen, men, here's the deal. If you practice this, there'll come a point where you automatically and innately realize she's not wanting an answer or a solution to her problem. You will innately realize all she wants you to do is to listen to her. I know that you men are like me, and you all have an innate desire to fix the problem when she comes to you with a burden. You say, I know how to solve this, and I can relieve you of this burden if you'll just listen to me and do what I tell you. That's not what she wants. That's not what she wants. You know, when we men get together, we're talking about stuff together, and we're talking about a problem. We're not releasing our emotions. When men get together and they talk, they're not just talking to listen to each other. When men get together and talk, they want solutions. And they talk about solutions, and they talk about ideas, and they solve problems because that's what men do. That is not what you do with your wife. Your wife is looking for an emotional release. Women generally talk from their emotions, not just their intellectual level. I'm not saying they're talking intellectual. I'm saying that they generally talk from their emotions. And you don't need to be saying, look, you need to listen to me. I've got a solution for you. And while we're on point, let me just give you this little trouble saver. If you'll make regular, scheduled time just to talk to your wife, she won't come to you in the middle of the night when you're too tired to think. She is seeking closeness when you get home. You need to be proactive. Your wife has gone through the whole day without talking to you. And when you come home, you need to let her decompress. If you will do that, it will let her know that you have an interest in what she has to say. It will let her know that you have an interest in how she is feeling. And she processes her feelings by talking. And sometimes she doesn't know what she's feeling until she actually talks it out. And like most people, when we talk out our feelings and emotions, we usually solve our own problems. So let me give it to you in a nutshell. Let me condense it all for you here. When she is talking, you need to listen to her with your whole body, and especially your eyes. And you need to, at times, just simply repeat back what she's saying to you so she has confirmation that you're listening. And you don't need to solve her problems. No matter how illogical they may seem to you, she needs to express where she is emotionally, and you don't need to interrupt her when she's telling you about her day and talking about her feelings, and you don't need to tell her how she needs to feel. And most importantly, you need to apologize when you're wrong. And you need to admit that you're wrong. And you need to admit that you're selfish. And you need to admit that you were self-centered. And then finally, tell her you appreciate her for all that she's doing and has done. Tell her you appreciate her. And pray for her. Pray for her. Pray for her. The marital relationship. We're going to end here. I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward and prepare for an invitation hymn. The marital relationship is indicative of the relationship, of course, that we have with our Heavenly Father. He being God, being our Father, and us being a child of God, which Jesus Christ purchased for us through His death on the cross. But the principles of openness and closeness and understanding are vital to our spiritual relationship as well. God's desire is for you to be close to Him. God's desire is for you to know Him intimately and to be open with Him in your prayers and of course, to understand what His will is for your life. And God, through Jesus Christ, has made a way for us to know Him intimately, closely, and to have a relationship with Him as our Father. He wants us to be open with Him. He wants us to confess our struggles. He wants to confess our difficulties. He wants us to confess our temptations to Him. He wants to know those things. Not that He doesn't already know them, but He wants us to confess them to Him. And when we do, He brings us understanding of what we need. And what we really need, and what we ultimately need, and what we always need, is the forgiveness of our sins. And that's the first thing you discover when you draw up close to God. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. And all the obstacles that keep us from having an open relationship with our Father are taken out of the way because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The first step you need as a husband is to be saved. God wants you to be saved. Being saved not only means that you have eternal life, but you become a new creation in Jesus Christ. And the power of sin is broken and you begin to live the life that God wants you to live, empowered by the Spirit of God. If you haven't had that experience this morning, we're certainly going to offer you that today in this invitation that we're about to observe here. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to pray together, and then we're going to proceed into the invitation. So, Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for the precious, precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. Shed on Calvary's tree. In eternity past, you planned it. And then you brought it together by your power and by your design and by your timing. And so that some 2,000 years ago, Christ went to the garden. He said, "Not my will be done, but your will be done, O God." And I'm willing to go to the cross, and there I'm willing to lay down my life for these old sinners upon this earth. For they don't deserve it. But I love them so much that I'm going to die for them. I'm going to shed my blood. And even though they may shake their fist in my face, I still love them. And oh God, your will be done and not mine. Oh, what an example for us as men. That the will of God would be done. We would lay down our wills for our wives to encourage them and to strengthen them, to love them and to talk to them, to be close to them and to be understanding of them. And we might do that with all of our hearts, God. Tenderize us with the pounding of the Spirit of God so that our hearts may be tender toward them. We need you, God. Oh, how we need you. Oh, God, we need you. Take us and rend us and make us into the image of Christ. We plead with you in Jesus' name and for His sake and for His glory. So be it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
552.